You're listening to audio from Citizens Church, located in Plano, Texas. For more information about this ministry or to give to this ministry, please visit citizenschurch.com.
Hey, good evening and welcome to Recovery here at Citizens Church. If you're joining us for the first time, my name is Michael, and I serve here as the pastor responsible for our recovery ministry. We are in the last week, or we are concluding our series tonight on addictions, and we will be talking about healthy practices and relapse prevention. So I am excited to talk to you guys about that. Next week, we will start our series on redeeming psychology, and we'll just look at the different psychological approaches, there's nothing new under the sun, and so it's not like we're going to find a new way to fix what is most deeply broken in us, apart from the work that Jesus can do at the deepest parts of our hearts. What we want to do, just like when we look at anything, is we want to look at what might be helpful and what we might want to be cautious about in engaging the different therapeutic practices that the world offers. So before we get into our message tonight, one of the things we like to do together, there's lots of things we like to do together. This is what I hope will become very familial, is that we celebrate together. And so yesterday, Melissa and Kevin Lauer celebrated 39 years of marriage. Yeah. Which means today is the first day that of their 40th year, as they're entering into that 40th year. So, yeah, we love you guys and want to celebrate you. The story that God has written on your lives is truly incredible, and it's a story that I hope we get to hear more and more of over your time with us. But we, words can't express what a joy it has been to see you guys walk through hard things and to see the fruit that has come on the other side of all that, to the glory of God and to the good of you guys. So, I want to pray for the Lowers, and then we'll get into our message tonight. Lord, I thank you. Your redemption is so multifaceted and reaches into so many different areas of our lives. Reaches into our hearts, reaches into our relationships, and Lord, rescues us from broken places. And you are just incredible. And so 39 years is a long time. I was thinking today, I've been in the workforce for 40 years. So, they've been married as long as I've been in the workforce. And so they've been through a lot. And they are a blessing to know. And I pray that you would protect their hearts and their minds and their marriage, that you would continue by your grace to preserve them as a testimony, as a gospel testimony, Lord. Bless them in this coming year, I pray, out of the deepest brokenness of their lives, Lord, what would come from that is a ministry that touches the brokenness of those that you bring to them. Lord, we love you and trust you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Addictions, healthy practices, and relapse prevention. You know, as I studied for this, I'm just so grateful to be a part of a community like this. I truly believe that part of what helps us to continue to grow and head in the right direction is being deeply immersed in the body of Christ. Because if we are just sticking our toe in the water in terms of community, and then the other, let's say it's for an hour or two a week, and then for how many hours is the rest of the week? A lot. We're being discipled by the world. We're going to drift, you know? And so, like, as I'm preparing to talk tonight, it becomes deeply personal to me. And here's just a warning for all of us. When we come into a place like this, or we sit under teaching and we just think it's for somebody else, that is dangerous ground. Like, I just think about pastorally, when pastors are, they think that the message that they're bringing is just for those out there, but they're not deeply, when they stop listening to their own counsel. Even in the situations where we have been deeply wounded ourselves or deeply hurt, the scriptures are going to say to watch ourselves. Isn't that interesting? Like, the things that are outside of us, we're not responsible for, but we're responsible for what's inside of us. And so I was just thinking about spiritual health. Spiritual health is something that we're not going to be able to, as people in this room, and maybe there's an exception that you can come and talk to me about, that if we are not healthy, that we are not responsible for that spiritually. That we can't point to somebody outside of us and say the reason why I am not spiritually healthy is because that grows out of our relationship with God. And as we'll learn tonight, out of the secret places of our heart in our time with God. You know, if we're a bitter person, we don't get to blame our circumstances for that. That is an issue that I'm having a hard time with unforgiveness because I will not entrust those offenses to my God. And that's on me, right? All that to say, healthy practices that maintain our spiritual health. One of the things that we say about steps, which provides a structure of discipleship to help us get traction in our relationship with God, we say that we teach people the basic principles of spiritual formation that keep us growing. And we say that doesn't stop after you finish. Like, it can't stop. Like we talked about last week, that we can't rest on our laurels, on our past accomplishments. We can't talk about a time whenever, oh, well, I used to be. That will not help you today. It will not help you today. And so all that to say, in preparing this week for me personally, what I've realized is that I feel a little out of shape spiritually. I feel a little out of shape. Now, nothing catastrophic has happened yet, but there's something that happens whenever, like, I can go to the refrigerator and I can pull out anything I want. And I can, you know, come and go here from the church pretty much as I want. And there's just not, like, God has given me a lot of freedom, and if I'm not careful, there's this thing between that you're doing one of two things all the time. You're either nourishing your spirit or you're feeding your flesh. And, you know, one of the questions tonight is about, you know, what would be characteristic of your life in terms of what you value? And I'm looking at my life going, man, I sure seem to be pursuing, like, just feeling good. Like, I just want to feel good. And that's gotten me in a lot of trouble in the past. A lot of trouble in the past. So I'm just confessing to you, like, the way that that might practically work itself out is I have a hard time imagining fasting for more than a day. There was a time, this is what I'm talking about, resting on your laurels. There was a time where I did a 39-day juice fast. You're like, wow. Well, I can stand up here and go, well, that was back, 15 years ago or whatever. But I mean, what good is that doing me today if I can't imagine like going a day without food? What is that telling me? It means that I'm driven by my flesh. I'm driven by, like when I get grumpy when I stop eating, do you know what that means? It shows me what I'm being driven by my own comfort. Now, all that to say, I'm so thankful to be preparing a message about this because it helps it helps disciple me in a way to get back on track. Like, I can't drift. I can drift, but that doesn't end well. And so thankful to be immersed in a community that I believe the church is, it's not just like one-on-one discipleship. It's, I am so involved in the church, in the people of God, in a gospel-centered community, that I can't act the way that I would, because that's not gonna fly in here. Right? If I'm deeply, and I get sideways with my wife, and I'm deeply involved in community, like, I can handle that personally. But if that keeps happening and then it starts to become visible to the community, they're like, oh, wait a second. Like, I'm not going to be able to carry into the church the way that I'm accustomed to operating in my family of origin or whatever that may be if it's dysfunctional. And not to say, we always say, it's okay not to be okay. Come as you are. Please don't pretend that you're someplace that you're not. But God doesn't want to leave you there is the point. He wants to shape you into the fullness of what it means to be a human being. But it requires our responsible participation. Our regeneration, that means when we are reborn, that's 100% God. But when we start talking about growth, it requires something of us. So we're going to see that tonight. Healthy practices and relapse prevention. Life as a liturgy. Your life is a liturgy. It tells a story. Did you know that? Like, somebody can watch your life and they can conclude the thing that you're living for. And you can, we always say, a right answer is an honest answer, not a church answer. Like, God meets us where we're at, not where we're supposed to be. And so, like, we can come in and we can pretend, but who are we fooling? That's just living in the fear of people and what people think, rather than actually being honest, which, if we're honest about where we're at and what we're living for, then maybe that's the beginning of change. I'm talking about living for comfort or living for what feels good. It reflects what you worship. Worship takes place in your heart, so it's internal. The greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is what sits in the first place in your heart, and that's what you live for, and that's what you worship. And anything that sits in that place that's not God is idolatry. If it's your family, it's idolatry. If it's your kids, if it's your work, if it's working out, okay? If it's taking a nap, if it's sleep, if it's food, whatever it is. So because addiction is a worship disorder, we worship our way out of addiction. In other words, we find something better to orient our lives around than a bottle, we're settling. First Corinthians 9, just talking about healthy practices, 24 through 27 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." So if you think about a boxer who's preparing for a fight, or a runner who's getting ready for the race, they train for that. And they are very careful about what they ingest, about their exercise program, and all of those sorts of things, right? They're very intentional. If they do not train, when is it going to show up? On the day of the trial. On the day of the trial. That's why it's so important, like, for me to recognize where I'm at. Like, I am not as spiritually healthy as I need to be. I'm not as spiritually strong. I've gotten a little lazy in my discipline around spirituality and other things. They can go kind of hand in hand. They don't always, because there can be people in the gym who look fantastic, but are completely empty on the inside. So I'm not saying that it's like exactly correlate. They tend to kind of go together. When I'm spiritually healthy, I tend to be, because actually what I do physically is a reflection of what I worship. And when we talked through No Longer Gnostics, then that affects how I care for my body, right? Because the body matters. It's part of what it means to be human. Okay. So we want to be intentional, so we don't want to feed on things that are toxic, right? We don't want to feed on things that pollute our bodies. That's sin. Sin pollutes. So if sin is the thing that robs us of joy in our lives, then that is something that we want to make sure we're warring against. We don't want to war against ourselves. We're not trying to put ourselves to death. We are trying to die to our selfish desires and to put sin to death. So sanctification, the process of becoming like Christ or holy. You know, there was a movie that was called The Pursuit of Happiness, right? Y'all probably saw it. It's a great movie. It just had the wrong aim. It's misguided, as the world is misguided. And the idea is that happy are those who, you know, live out the American dream, who are successful in business and the pursuit of happiness. I do not believe that there is genuine happiness apart from holiness, because it's my sin that robs me, that pollutes me. And I can say, hey, you know, the reason why I'm not fruitful is because of all the things outside of me. But did you know that there are times where God does a deep work and uses suffering as part of what drives us into the presence of God? And when we're not going through that, then we have a tendency to get loose. And then, like, when we go through the trial, then it's like all of a sudden, it's like we get serious about spiritual things, because we realize our need. We're always in need, but we realize our need. So sanctification I'm just going to say, requires grace-driven effort. It requires effort on your part. You can't earn it. There's a difference between earning and effort. He puts it like this, that gracious operation of the Holy Spirit, so it's the Holy Spirit working in you. Somebody, there was a guy named Elliot Green, he said, he was a professor, and he said, sanctification is 100% God and 100% you. Well, how's that possible? Well, I guess it's the same way as that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. I don't know how that math works, but involving, what does it say? Our responsible participation. And so I'm speaking to believers in this room. If you have not yet been born again, I believe that the Lord has you here in a reason that you might come to know him and fall in love with him and give your life to him because he's just that good. That he is going to win your heart. He's not like other gods that demand. He's like, I will love you into relationship with me. He's not like insecure leadership where it demands your your allegiance. He wins us. By which he delivers us from the pollution of sin. So can we do that on our own? No. Can we do that? No, it is by being found in him and allowing the work of the Holy Spirit, that it's not through the works of our flesh, but it's the work of the Spirit. Renews our entire nature according to the image of God, and enables us to live lives that are pleasing to him. Sometimes people are like, well, I don't like sanctification. It's hard. It feels a little like crucifixion because there's a part of us that's dying. But then when you realize that sanctification is part of salvation, like God's saving you from sin. And enables us to live lives that are pleasing to him. Anthony Hokema in Saved by Grace. So the path to holiness requires, there's two pieces to this, to sanctification. It's called mortification and vivification. And both of these are at play in kind of a cycle as we pursue holiness. I don't know what happened to my cycle. All right, two parts. Mortification is the putting to death those things which rob our affections for Christ and hinder us from living out his kingdom purposes. So the Romans 8 is going to tell us that if we live by the Spirit, we will put to death the deeds of the flesh. Vivification, on the other hand, is the filling of ourselves with those things which stir our affections for Christ and enable us to live out kingdom purposes. So earlier it says, the mind set on the flesh is death. Like if I'm just feeding my flesh and that's what I'm after, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, that I can be nourished in him and strengthened in him to meet adversity. And so there's times where it's like, I felt it today. I'm preparing for the message, I start to feel anxious, and I just don't want to feel that way. And so I can either lean into that and lean into God and be present in that, or I can just try to avoid that and squish that and just power through, like, and there's no relationship with God in that. I just need a fix to get to, so that I don't feel this way anymore. And I'm not saying that there's not healthy things that we can do, like take a nap, or those aren't wrong. It's just, that can't be where I run instead of God. I can go work out. I feel better when I'm exercising physically. But that can't be my God. Vivification is the filling of ourselves with the things which stir our affections for Christ and enable us to live out his kingdom purposes. So I like to use the idea of gardening. Okay, in a garden, any gardeners out there? Okay, great. So in gardening, there's both weeding and there's feeding, right? Do you know what happens if you don't weed your garden? Well, for one thing, it's not very pretty. It's overgrown. But actually, like if you try to grow fruit or vegetables in a garden that's full of weeds, your fruit won't be as robust. Do you know why? Because the weeds are sucking the nutrients out of the soil. And so when we have these patterns of, like, we only have so much energy. And when we expend it in one way, that means that we can't be spending it in the other way. And feeding our gardens with the nutrients that we need in order to be fruitful. Proverbs 24, 26 through 30 says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. So this is a type of foolishness. And it has to do with being lazy in my discipline. And behold, it was overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and the stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Sometimes people ask me, like, why do you, like, when you're not teaching or you're not, when you're on vacation, why do you still come to recovery? Because it's personally helpful to me. That's why. To be immersed in the body of Christ. When I have time off from work, when it's just me at home and my family, I need, like, appointments with men of God to be able to stay connected and you see what I'm saying? Like, and so the things that I do are not because I'm a pastor or because I'm in leading this ministry. I would do this even if I wasn't getting paid for it. Because I love it, number one. And number two, it's good for me. So, you know, in the putting to death, in other words, I'm not going to do this thing. So I'm not going to look at porn. If that's all I'm doing, it's not enough. Look at this. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, put in order. I'm not drinking anymore. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of this person is worse than the first, so also will be with this evil generation. I think I mentioned last week that I didn't put it on the screen, but I did communicate the idea that it's like in AA, they'll say that your disease is out there doing push-ups in the parking lot, getting stronger while you're in here meeting. And it's this, that if the places that were previously occupied by the enemy, if there's not something that takes up residence there, then it's just going to be worse the next time. But if there is something in that house that takes up residence there, then the enemy doesn't have doesn't have power in that house. It's kind of like this. Last week, last Sunday, I got an opportunity to go to one community church and teach in their pursuit ministry, which they've been going for like the last 10 years, and they're a similar ministry than what we do here with Steps. They use our curriculum. And so I get to teach once a semester there to that community. And guess what? It was during the Cowboy game. Now, my history with the Cowboys goes way back. Like, this is what we did. This is what we look forward to. There was like, you want to talk about a liturgy? Like, there was a preparation. There was the same food that we made. I mean, it was like a whole thing. And, you know, when I was not saved, I would like play fantasy football, and like I was in all the stats, and it was like my life. But whenever I got saved, like I didn't have the same interest, but I have become interested again in the Cowboys. And little L love, I love the Cowboys. Wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy whenever I was a little kid. Last week at one community church during the Cowboy game, I got to worship God. I mean, like, really worship God. And I got to teach. And, you know, as I was preparing, I always, please don't tell me what's going on with the Cowboy game if it's going on and we're like around each other. But they were talking about the score and it was not good. It was not good at all. And so here's what happened. We got done. I watched the rest of the Cowboy game because I recorded it. And I want you to know that the sting of that did not sting anything like if I had not been worshiping that afternoon, because I'm like, that's inconsequential compared to where I just was. There was something that filled that space that made this thing not have the same power. So there is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that every believer has. But there is a way to grieve the Spirit. And there is this idea of being filled with the Spirit. So the idea of vivification. Vivification just means to make alive. Like, there's things that the Holy Spirit in me gets really excited. Not just things that it grieves, but there's things that, like, do you know what one of those things is? Jesus, God the Father, worship, all those things. Like, he gets super excited about that. There are things that stir in me the Holy Spirit in a way that is really fruitful and joyful, and it's almost like it's what I was created for. It's almost like there's no better place on earth than being in that place with him. And if you've never been there, I want you to know it's good. And so in Ephesians 5:18, it says this: do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. It's talking about making the best use of our time. Again, we have limitations. There's only so much time. Your days are already numbered. Did you know that? Your days are already numbered. And you can spend those days one of two ways. You can spend your life for the kingdom of God, or you can spend your life for the kingdom of self. And that takes a lot of different forms, but it's saying, don't get drunk, like, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. There is something, like so many of us in this room right now, I know because we're going through difficult circumstances, that's all we can see. There is so much more going on than that. I know that that is a big thing in your life, But there is more going on. The Bible says, is not life more than what you can see? Yes, and he's invited us into that. And so it says, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And so the idea behind it is whatever you fill yourself with will control you. So if I fill myself with wine, right, then I become intoxicated. They talk about the spirits, like, right, drinking the spirits. And then it's obvious that I've been drinking. No, I haven't been drinking, right? Obvious you have been. Yeah, you don't realize it, but it's clear to everybody that you've been drinking. Okay, you're wasting time. That is time and energy that you could be spending for eternal things, that you could be making a difference in the world, and you're settling. The enemy wants to take you out of the game. He wants to take you out of the game. And then we say, okay, we go right along with him. Do not get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. There's this idea that you, whatever you fill yourself with will control you. So let's just, maybe it's not wine for you. Maybe it's the thing that makes you feel okay is when you got plenty of money in the bank. That's where you get your security. So that means when you've got plenty of money in the bank, you feel on top of the world, like, and you're checking those accounts all the time. I know. How much did the stocks go up? Did I make $300 today? What is it? It's saying that if you are filled with money, well, number one, that's what the Bible calls greed, because that's what you're, that's what we worship, that's the idolatry. And it's like, you're a slave to it. You're a slave to it, just like I was talking about being a slave to the Cowboys. If they win, I'm on top of the world. If they lose, I'm in the toilet. What are some other things we could do? There's this thing that the Bible calls the fear of man. Maybe we'll just say, we'll call it the affections of people. So when they love me, man, they think I'm great. But when they don't, and I feel this big, who controls me? People. People control me. It's what codependency is called. I need this from you to be okay. I need you to see me in a certain way to be okay. And it will be, you will be a slave to it, just like alcohol, just like money, just like any of the other things. Work, when I'm killing it at work. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's not like, I can get a job. He's like, whether I've got a job or not. He's learned the secret of being content. Why? Because he has something greater than the world has to offer that can't be taken from him. And everything else you're going to lose. You're not going to be able to take it with you. There's nothing temporal. You think your spouse is going to be your spouse in heaven? Nope. You're clinging to that thing, your job, money. It's going to stay in that casket. You're going to try to take it with you? You're going to like put all that gold on? It's going to stay right there. All right. But instead, be filled with the Spirit, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. One of the things that I love about being in is I get to rehearse my salvation. Do you know if you rehearse your salvation, none of us deserved it. So if I'm living out of the foundation of the gospel, I don't walk into life entitled thinking that people owe me anything or that God owes me anything, because I've been given all things in Christ. And what I'll have is gratitude. I might not be grateful for all the things going on in the world, but I'm rooted in something greater than what the world is offering. And so it allows me to be engaged in a world that's very broken and full of a lot of chaos with gratitude, because I know I'm where I'm supposed to be with God. And I know that this is all temporary. Doesn't make it easy, but it makes it hopeful. He is where the joy is at. The pursuit of joy through a disciplined life. Spiritual disciplines, things like prayer, fasting, Bible reading, rest, are practiced so that we might come into the presence of God, be filled under the waterfall of His grace, so we are able to live lives that are worshipful to Him. You know, a lot of times we fast for this or we fast for that. I think fasting and prayer is about aligning our hearts with God's heart so that we go from that into the world reflective of Him. Our lives tell a story. I was talking to a gal the other day, and she has been free from alcohol for some time, and she has, it's been a long time, according to her testimony, that she's had a deep relationship with Jesus. And so she and her husband, they're fighting about what they're going to do that day, right? What do you think they're fighting about? He has an agenda, she has an agenda, and I just ask, like, which, like, in thinking about your day, is it about who you can serve? About how, who you can be a light to, about like being a part of expanding His kingdom. I mean, how much of your thought is going of getting more of Jesus? And so no wonder they're miserable, because they're settling. That worship fuels obedience. It's about cultivating a secret life. In other words, the disciplines like in Matthew, where it talks about when you pray, go into your closet. If you do it just to be seen by others, you got your reward. Nice job. It's saying what you do when you're alone. Cultivating a secret life. And to hear, to live deeply with people, and to hear about how God meets people in their closet. And so healthy practices would be the mortification, putting to death, the vivification, the filling of ourselves, the things that stir our affections for Christ, and then those would be kind of gospel in, and then gospel out, mission and service, which I've already talked about. So healthy rhythms in our life, it's like breathing. Inhale, exhale. If you stop inhaling, what's going to happen? If you just exhale, try it. You're going to die. That's not healthy. You stop inhaling. Wait, you stop exhaling. So you just inhale. Try that. You're going to die. You need both. Did you guys know that the Dead Sea is a picture? Do you know why the Dead Sea is dead? It's full of mineral content, meaning, and it's too high. There's only inflow, there's no outflow. There is a way of approaching spirituality that will lead to a great amount of unhealth. And I'm going to use disordered eating as a picture of that. If all we do is consume the gospel, but we don't exercise the gospel, we will be spiritually obese. If, and this is what I tend towards, We don't take time with God, and we just do. That is gospel anorexia. Like, I'm not taking in the nutrients necessary in order for me to be fruitful. That's what I tend towards. And then there's something called gospel bulimia, where we're in a lot of different Bible studies. This happens whenever up in treatment, there's a place that I used to go, and they go from one Bible study to the next Bible study, the next Bible study to the next Bible study, and they never absorb anything because they don't savor it. It's like, by the time you hit the parking lot, you've forgotten what you just heard. My fear is that we'd show up in here, like we'd listen to all this, we've been listening to podcasts and all of these kinds of things, and when we ask that question, what was meaningful to you this week, biblically, in terms of the counsel that you've received that was either helpful or challenging or confusing, and it's just silent. And I know that that can't be true, that we must have just forgotten everything that we've heard that week. That's gospel bulimia. Spiritual dysfunction happens when there is an imbalance of gospel ingestion versus gospel expression. So, I'm just going to read these and then we'll be done. Relapse prevention. Your life is a liturgy. It tells a story. When Jesus is your treasure, you seek to get more of him, to look like him, and be about expanding his kingdom. I always tell the story that, like, whenever I watch the CrossFit games, like, the next day, because I want to be like them, you'll see me in the gym doing what they do. When we see Jesus, is he the one that we want to be like? Because if we want to be like him, then we'll do the things that he does, and we'll live the life that he lives. And I think the more and more that our hearts are reconciled to God's hearts, the more servant-hearted we'll be, the more we will serve, the more that we will be involved in expanding his kingdom and gospel multiplication. We will be about, like, that will be our mission, because that's his mission. So, relapse prevention. The first thing is keeping first things first. This is, without question, the most important. It says, every single guy that I've seen come out of treatment that relapses is because something gets in the way of their relationship with God. It is, they get into a relationship, and all of a sudden, that becomes the priority. A job, sports, and guess what happens? Because we don't keep first things first. Those things are important. They're just not the most important. Rehearsing the gospel, I think I've already mentioned that. Like, reminding myself of the foundation, which leads me to gratitude and worship, the filling of my heart, that then now I can go out into the world and be involved in gospel-motivated service and mission, which is the last one. Where I'm enriched is in gospel-centered community. A man who isolates himself, Proverbs 18:1, rails, it says, seeks his own desire. Whenever I start isolating from the body of Christ, it's because I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to be challenged in the life that I want to live. And I'm not saying that there aren't legitimate reasons why we are sometimes away from, but when I start to pull away intentionally, when that's actually a place that I need to be, even though I may not feel like it. And then just the summary of trust God, clean house, work with others. Are you working with others? If you're not yet, it is a joy. It is a joy to be a part of what God is doing. And it is the most, a life of faith, is the most exciting life. And my life was not dull before. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this time. I thank you for the opportunity to talk about addictions, not just from what it is, But I think the thing that we just need to walk away from, to actually find freedom, everything needs to change. Our entire orientation needs to change. And Lord, I thank you that you are better than whatever it is that we've centered our lives around. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.